Welcome to the Theology of the Buddy, a podcast for Catholics who love the beauty of the Church's sacred tradition. Because there ain't no podcast like a traditional Catholic podcast, because a traditional Catholic podcast don't stop. My name is Brooke. If you're looking to grow in the faith in new ways, trying to find new topics to ponder while staring off into the middle distance and thinking about the Roman Empire, looking to connect with other faithful and fun Catholics who speak the truth without compromise, you've come to the right place. We're not experts, but we are a lot funnier than the experts, and we have learned a lot over the 19.345 plus years we've been friends in the faith, and we want to share that with you. So pull up a chair, grab a slice of pizza and your favorite Tridentine brew, and if you haven't yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you are listening. And don't forget to drop by theologyofthebuddy.com for all of our show notes and past episodes. I think I have a career in rapping coming up.
Nice.
You're basically Andy Mineo now.
I especially like 19.345 plus. It reminds me of LGBTQ2A plus. There you go. That's our new motto.
No.
It's our new label.
How are you guys doing? Welcome to the season finale. Season 6 finale.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
It can't be a finale, though, because you just said a traditional Catholic podcast don't stop. We got to keep going.
Well, it's just a season finale.
He's got you there.
It's just a season finale.
So it's a pause, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, when we pick up it. Yeah, when we pick up, it'll be season 7, just to keep things neat and orderly. All right.
If men never stop pondering the Roman Empire, then they're going to still need new topics for pondering.
Mm-hmm. Always.
True. Mm-hmm.
You know the picture of the guy standing like on the shoreline and like water is splashing up? It's like a really famous painting. I'll find it and I'll link it in the show notes. Tim knows what it is. He's laughing.
No, but did you know when Viggo Mortensen kicked the helmet?
For some reason, like when you described that, for some reason I had the mental picture of the Thorial, L'Oreal knockoff with Thor, and I have no idea why.
Oh.
Yeah, so, sorry.
Have you seen that meme that's like, it's a shark just coming out of the water, just his head like straight up in the air with his jaw open, and he's like, I came out of the ocean because you need to stop.
So today is a very special day. We've already talked about this off air, but I want to share with all of our friends, our VIBs, anybody who's listening, anyone who listened to the NICU podcast that my wife Julie and I did earlier. I guess it was a couple of years ago now, or a year ago.
A year and a half, 2 years ago.
So my daughter, Therese, had her last enteral feeding appointment today, and they gave her the go-ahead, and she no longer needs a G-tube. So that's pretty awesome. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Nice. That's been a long road.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, did you walk into the meeting and say, to be or not to be?
I wasn't there, but...
Oh, come on.
I'm sure Julie did, because she's just
for Lent.
I did not give up dad jokes for Lent.
No.
That would be taking away penance from everyone else.
Brooke, offer it up. Offer it up, Brooke.
You know when a pun turns into a dad joke, right?
No, when?
When it becomes apparent.
Amazing.
Did you just hear my wife sighing in the background? She's like, oh no, not this again. I hope that makes it into the recording.
That needs to.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. We have some fun stuff. So I think it was Tim that made the suggestion a couple podcasts ago to do embarrassing Catholic stories, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm assuming it's because Tim has a nice, good, juicy one.
I do. And it involves our good friend, Archbishop Gregory from Washington, D.C.
Oh, no.
Is it Cardinal Gregory now?
Oh, no.
Wilton Gregory?
Yeah. Wilton J. Gregory III.
Boy. Okay.
Former Archbishop of Chicago, former Archbishop of Atlanta. So,
Theology of the Buddy has been removed from this podcast platform.
So my most embarrassing Catholic moment was not the time that Father Mike chased me out of confession with a stick. It was the time that... I was at the Eucharistic Congress in Atlanta. I forget which year it was, but it was the year that Archbishop Gregory was installed. So early 2000s. And you know, it's one of these things. It's at the convention center, lots of places to go. Nobody's really familiar with where to go for what. So you're got one of those little handheld maps. You're looking around trying to figure out where to go. Well, I run into the Archbishop, shake his hand, kiss babies, that kind of thing. Like, hey, good to meet you. My name's Tim. Talk to him about young adult ministry at that point for a few minutes. I notice while I'm talking to him that there's a bathroom over to my left. And so I make the mental note. Cool. As soon as I get done with him, I exit stage left and head over to the bathroom. And there's one side I look over. Women's entrance is on the right. So I go even further to the left around and I run face first into a nun. It turned out that the women's restroom had another entrance. So I do like a panic exit, but I don't exit. I shoot right back around to the right into the other women's entrance and run into the same group of nuns. And this is the Nashville Dominicans. full Dominican regalia. So I run into a nun that I actually know very well at this point, Sister Mary David, and she looks me dead in the eye and she goes, "You're in the wrong spot." I say, "Yes, ma'am, I am in the wrong spot." So we turn around and we walk out together out of the bathroom and bump right back into Archbishop Gregory. I look at him, I was like, "Archbishop Gregory, I'd like to introduce you to Sister Mary David."
Wow.
Oh man. Yeah.
I can't top that at all.
Close. Can we just end the podcast? I can't tell a story after that.
Oh no.
That's okay. Yeah. How did the Archbishop react to this?
Oh, he was completely clueless, I think. It just didn't faze him at all.
That's good.
Nice.
Yep.
Oh boy.
That's awesome.
Nick, you got one?
Yeah, I've got one.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been sitting on this one for a while. So this is one that was embarrassing to me at the time, but over the years, it's become very clear to me that I had nothing to be embarrassed about, and the other person should have been the one who was embarrassed. Okay. So this was during my exemplification for the third degree for the Knights of Columbus. I won't get into the backstory. People who know about the Knights of Columbus and are in the Knights know all about the third degree exemplification, what that used to be like many years ago. This would have been around, I don't know, 2010, 11, somewhere in there. Basically, at one point near the end of the program for the day, there's like this sort of catechetical trivia, if you will. We're in a great big room in a big circle, and this officer from like higher up in the organization was like drilling us on different parts of the catechism, and we were expected to have answers for him. The program up to that point had been very stressful and very off-putting. Well, I think that's putting it mildly. So I was already just a little on edge, not super engaged at that point, just a little bit checked out, but he's going through these trivia questions, and he gets to, "How many holy days of obligation are there?" And my hand shot up and I was like, "I know the answer to this." So he called on me and I said, "There are 10. And he laughed and said, "That's a few more than any of the rest of us are going to. What are they?" And I was so flustered and I was so put off. I couldn't name a single one except like Christmas. And so he starts naming them for me. And I'm like, "Well, yeah, duh. I know. Like, as soon as you say the words, I'm like," he's like, "Mary, Mother, God." And as the words are coming out of his mouth, I'm copying like, "Mary, Mother of God." Right. So I got them all because he was kind of leading me. But, you know, of course, he only named the 6 that are observed in United States Church. But I was going by the universal law that I had just recently read in my missal. I was like, "Here's the list. I've got it right here." It was really embarrassing for me, like I said, at the time, because I was surrounded by not even my peers, because again, this is the Knights of Columbus and I'm like a, you know, 18, 19 year old kid, and everybody else in the room is in their like 40s, 50s, 60s. And who's this upstart little punk trying to tell us that there's 10 holy days of obligation? We know there's only 6. This kid doesn't know what he's talking about. It was not a good day.
Turns out the two of you were wrong.
How so?
I have it Sundays on good authority.
Because you didn't count all the Sundays.
Okay, fair point. Fair point.
Individually enumerated holy days of obligation.
Right.
Chris, your turn.
I've been racking my brain about this, and I'm like, I mean, Mike could probably tell you way more embarrassing things that I've done. For some reason, I think I've probably just blotted them out of my memory.
That's the old G of the buddy.
But I think the most embarrassing, and I'm calling it a Catholic story because it involves what is considered, or who is considered, a very well-known Catholic figure, at least in our neck of the woods, a guy by the name of Chris Bray. And he's a recording artist now, and he's a big shot.
He's got his own bus.
But it's true, actually. Yeah, he modded a bus and traveled in it with his family. I think it was before they were married. I think so. Yeah, it was before Julie and I were married, for sure. We were just dating at the time. And we decided that Chris Bray and his, I think it was his fiance at the time, and Julie and I would go on a double date, and we'd go to a go play outdoor mini putt. So we're playing, we're having a good time, you know, and about halfway through the game, my ball kind of ends up in a precarious position. So I have to kind of like stand on the rocks that are kind of like surrounding the, you know, that specific hole to be able to make the putt. But as I'm standing on top of that rock to make the putt, it shifts and it throws me. Like I go completely like sideways. The club just goes flying. My legs are everywhere. But like I've somehow contorted my legs in such a fashion that I have completely rended my pants from like from the fly down, just completely like up to the butt crack, completely splits wide open. Okay. So I'm experiencing this. And it's feeling like it's in slow motion. Okay. I'm just like, oh no. And I hit the ground. And to make matters worse, I've realized all that has happened, what everybody has seen. And I laugh so hard, I fart in front of everybody. But then I'm like, what do I do? I'm on this date with Julie. I'm like, okay, great. Like, here we go. Like, This is great. And then like with Chris Bray and his wife or his fiance, they look at me, I look at them, I'm completely mortified. And they're like, what are you going to do? And I'm just like, I'm going to go maybe go home. So I went home and we never went on a double date ever again. But yeah. So that's my very embarrassing story. It's not really a Catholic story, but it's with a Catholic figure. So yeah. And then, oh, but I will say this though. I went mini golfing with Julie this past January, and it was an indoor mini putt place, but I don't know who got the flipping memo, but they put this on the window outside. And if you can't see it, it nice. Says, I took a picture of it. It says, always bring an extra pair of pants to mini golf in case you get a hole in one. So,
zing.
Yeah.
I'm sure Chris
Bray's, I feel like my guardian angel just kind of inspired that and used it to mock me. But anyway, that's my story. Thanks for listening.
That was a great one, but still not as embarrassing as Chris Bray's video about the TLM.
That is true. Oh, gosh. Talk about cringe factory. Oh,
Mike, do you have an embarrassing story?
Yeah, it's super lame compared to those ones. Okay. But it was incredibly mortifying for me. I don't know if it's funny, but anyway, I'm a bad podcaster, so I'll just carry on and tell the story. This is a thing that happened at Ordinariate Mass, and I think it radicalized me against receiving communion in both species at Mass, because this is like a receiving communion embarrassing story. So they used to have an Ordinariate Mass for a short time in Kitchener when we were living there, and it was great. The community was really small but awesome. But one of the things they did was they had communion at basically like an altar rail, but they had the priest giving the precious blood from the cup at the altar rail and like holding the cup for you at your mouth and tipping it toward you. And I know this is a practice that's been done other places, but I thought it was the most insanely awkward thing in the world. And I was totally not ready for it when I went there. So this incredibly awkward exchange ensued where I'm trying to be reverent while doing this. And then he doesn't tilt it enough. And then I'm just like leaving and he's like, did you get some? And I was just, I looked at him and I just kind of shook my head and just walked away because I was too embarrassed to even say anything. I don't know when I tell it, it sounds so stupid, but the amount of shame and embarrassment and mortification I felt at this moment was just like, it's so high that it's burned into my memory because it's probably the most awkward moment ever when this priest like tried to ask me this and I was just like, don't talk to me, I'd rather die.
Are you winning, son?
So there you go. Yeah, now I'm all sweaty, like even talking about this story, like I'm reliving it.
I want to say that is worth like feeding as a prompt into Midjourney and getting like a memorialized, you know, painting of Mike walking away just so dejected and not having received because it was so awkward.
Okay.
I went to that like ordinariate mass a couple other times, and all the other times I would receive on the tongue and then I would just walk past the priest with the chalice. I was just like, I'm not going through that again. Oh man,
but mine is so much worse than that, Mike.
I've
never told you the story though.
Oh,
okay. I don't
we
think
were I'm... on our first date.
And I really just wanted to go home. No, I'm kidding.
Is this about the time that a guy threatened to throw you off a cliff?
No. Okay, so this was back when like we were attending our old parish. I think we were dating at the time. And so like I was just getting into receiving kneeling on the tongue. Okay. Now I wasn't receiving from a priest. So I go to, you know, the extraordinary minister, whoever. I still don't understand why they're called that. Anyway, went to this guy and he clearly had not practiced or knew how to give someone communion. So, you know, he goes to give me communion. He drops the host down my shirt.
No.
Oh.
And so I'm freaking out because I'm just like, I don't want him to think that I'm going to walk away with the Eucharist on my shirt. So I pull open my shirt and I'm like, where is he? Literally like looking for my Lord. And so I'm like, I open my shirt and I look down and then I pull out the host. I hold it up so he knows that it's safe. And then I consume and I walk away. He's like mortified. I'm mortified. I'm just like, Lord, I'm so sorry. I don't even know what to do. So ever since the day, I'm just like, I don't know if I accidentally like flashed this guy. And this is why lay people shouldn't distribute communion. And this is why I've never told Mike for this moment for us to share.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
I can't. Here's the thing, though. You've never shared that with Mike.
Why would I want to?
What dark secrets have you kept from us?
You don't just look over your spouse and say, hey, honey, did I ever tell you the time? Because, yeah, he just, oh no, Nick is dead. He's asking for help.
Look what my wife just wrote to me.
You okay there, honey?
She sees you struggling to breathe story, over and there. I'm debating whether to recount it to her now with my microphone off so we don't you know, side rail the podcast or make her wait until this comes out on Monday.
No.
It might be worth letting her listen to it because that was amazing.
It was horrible. I just remember being like, oh, where is he? Because I didn't know what else to do. What do you do?
Where is he? What have they done with my lord?
Oh, boy.
And I was just like, there's no coming back from that. You don't have another option. You can't just be like, like obviously, like, I wouldn't be receiving in the hand.
Oh.
So I was just like, so many things. Looking back, I'm like, it's just ticking all the boxes of things I never want to experience ever again.
Oh my gosh. I mean, we all know the story about Saint John laying on the breast of our Lord, but I haven't heard the other way, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it was just so bad. And I'm just like, that, I just think, like, I remember that me and him, like, exchanged, you'd see them and then you just look away. It's just like, no.
Yeah, you can't ever interact with that person again.
Oh, no. No, you can't. You just can't. So there you go.
Oh, boy.
I think mine might have been the worst.
Yep.
No, that one definitely takes the cake.
Nothing could be as embarrassing as that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You're welcome.
That's amazing.
Mike's going to get off the call, and he's just like, I can't believe you've never told me that. Yeah. But I mean, you just want to block those things out. I get it, honey. You get it.
Well, here we are. We're all thoroughly embarrassed.
Are we all hot? Like, sweating?
Hot enough for some hot takes?
Yeah, you see what we did there. Who's got a spicy hot take?
I'm waiting for Nick's hot take.
Well, I just consulted my wife over here, and I asked her, what's your spicy Catholic take? And she says, everyone should wait at least a year between pregnancies, and not doing so is a potential risk to your health and the well-being of your family.
Also, if you're not working out, you're not taking care of yourself, and you should do better.
Did you hear that?
Yes. Challenged.
Get her a headset. Let's do this.
Yeah. Get her in on this.
You want to come in? Come on.
Come Bring on. Her in.
All right. Here she comes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nicholas Job and Elizabeth Job.
Yeah.
My other hot take is that if you are doing anything in yoga that is just a yoga position, but are not doing any of the spirituality thing with it, it's fine because you cannot convince me that people were not doing those things before they added a religion onto those movements. And we should all stop being scared of just doing child's pose, and literally laying on your back is a yoga pose. So there is nothing inherently spiritual about any of the positions in yoga. It's the spirituality component that's the problem.
Today I learned I'm a Hindu.
Oh. Father Ripperger is enters the chat. Leave your comments at Theology of the Buddy.
Oh no, we just lost 50 subscribers after that last episode. Yes.
Oh no, that's all of our subscribers.
Today, Canon Bourgeois actually slammed Father Ripperger to my face.
Oh,
that's spicy.
He said that he is essentially leading people astray by causing them to put too much stock in the spiritual realm instead of their own actions and look at their own behaviors.
I can see that.
Spicy take.
That's Canon Bourgeois' spicy take, not mine, even though I might agree with it.
Yeah. All right, Chris, what's yours?
Ooh, I don't really have a last spicy. No, that's not true. I have a last spicy hot takes. But I mean, I'm fairly... people will know where I stand on things. I think if this is going to be really spicy, I think if you are a Catholic who still thinks that taking the Fauciocci is okay, I think you need to go to confession because it's a sin against prudence. That's my big spicy hot take. Tim Mason.
Oh gosh. I don't know. My normal takes are generally spicy takes. So, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that within 100 years' time, the current pontiff is going to be considered an antipope. And I fully expect that if I live out my full lifespan, that I'll be buried in the old rite and I won't have to ask for it.
I love it.
I love that, Tim.
Mm-hmm. I also think that pedophiles should be dragged out into the woods and shot. I don't know. these are just normal takes. So.
Yeah, I thought these were supposed to be spicy, not just optimistic takes.
Yeah, I mean, this is just Tim saying things that Tim says, you know?
Tim gonna Tim.
Yeah. I had a question for Chris.
Yes.
Ooh, Chris.
Okay. So with the Fauci thing, is that just because of the use of fetal cells in the research, or is it also because it's been not as tested and because of some of the side effects we've seen with men? Like, is it both of those things?
Yeah.
Okay.
And more.
It's all of those things for sure. And I think at this point, a rational thinking Catholic can do their own research and see that it might not be the most prudent thing to do.
I was curious in your reasoning because we've not done that, but if it were just the fetal stem cells, I take an immunosuppressant medication that way back when it was first developed, used that in research, and I've tried other medications that don't, and I have to choose between taking the moral high ground or being able to function. Mm. And so I've always struggled with, like, when it comes to just something that's optional, I understand, but I've always struggled with the, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
I
mean, that's something that's really left between you, your spouse, and your, you know, a good solid spiritual director.
Right? Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just at this point with the Fauci, which all the stuff that's gone on with it, with all the shady business that we've seen, it's like, I think and the fact that we've all had COVID, like whether we got it or not, we've all had it. It's like it's just ridiculous. And in Canada, like I know it's still probably true in the States too, but like, you know, Julie still has trouble finding work as a nurse because many places, especially hospitals, still require it, you know, but only their first two, which is just, it's more like they just want that little pinch of incense to know that you would obey if we asked you.
Yeah.
So you I started a new job like 10 months ago at a Catholic company. I'll just say that. I won't say who it is or what industry or anything, but I was surprised even at that point, you know, 4 months into 2023, that Catholic institution was still requiring it. And I had to file for a religious exemption and point out to them that, hey, look, the church says this cannot be morally compulsory. Like you can't compel me to take this. There's a document from, I had the source on the tip of my tongue and it's gone now. What, the Catholic Medical Bioethics Board or something like that basically said, you know, as a rule, they have to be voluntary. I got the exemption, but I was just shocked that still at this point, you know, they're requiring it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was looking at some jobs, actually nursing jobs up in like Northern Ontario yesterday. And I was surprised to see that some of the hospitals have dropped their mandate, but the Sisters of St. Joseph still require it. It's just like, well,
Nick, I got to say, you have a much higher quality tip of tongue than I do. Could you, like, oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Oh, yeah, the Catholic Biomedical Ethics Board. I can't remember.
I'm totally sometimes spitballing that name. I'm sure it's not exactly
the name, but it's, I'm sitting it's here, it's like, oh, effect. What did I come into the kitchen for? Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. Oh, yeah, a banana.
Okay, Mike, spicy hot take.
My hot take is aimed at triggering Chris, and it is Holy Spirit's better than Holy Ghost. It's just a better translation. Oh. Sorry. Even though it's modern, it is better. Holy Ghost sounds silly in modern English. Sorry about that.
I don't know.
Yeah, when you come into my house, you say Holy Ghost, okay? That's as the paterfamilias, This is our rule, okay? So when we say grace, you say it right.
That's fair enough.
I mean, it's kind of Charles Dickens-y. I like it.
My hot take isn't really much of a hot take, but I'll say it anyway. I think the permanent diaconate is stupid.
Yeah!
It's so stupid.
And bring back the minor orders.
Okay. Like I don't know the history as to when that was like allowed or when it was instituted. I have no idea. But I've always, every time you see someone in the permanent diaconate, it's someone that's already married, already has children, you know, possibly retired. This is the next step in my life. I'm going to be a deacon. Well, okay. I guess. I just think it's stupid because deacon was always like a step before priest. Like there's an order to things. It's just like, I just think it's really stupid. And I think it's like, it opens the door to like people being like later, well, if deacons can be married, why can't priests? I think it's just a conversation that you got to think about having, but you know, that's me. Oh, snap. She's got something to say.
Yeah.
It's on the tip of her tongue.
But she's saying something. We got to hear it.
All right.
It's spicy. Let's go.
I think we should have more married priests.
What?
So
we live in a part of the country where there's a lot of Eastern Rite parishes around us. So we have occasionally attended a Ukrainian Catholic church where the pastor is, he's what? Father of seven?
And expecting his first grandchild.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
So as an example of part of why I think we should have more married Catholic priests, I had a meeting with one of our priests today, and in it we were going through some different things, and I was telling him about how my most recent experience with childbirth was very difficult for me. And so I had had, so that childbirth started with me falling down the stairs, having to go in an ambulance, not being able to eat for multiple hours, and then it ended in an induction. And he was confused because he said, well, don't they give you the epidural shot with the induction? So here's a few issues here. One, the epidural is not a shot.
He was thinking spinal.
It goes in your spine. Two, upon further discussion with him, he didn't realize that that women would move during labor, that like they would get up and walk and like move throughout their labor. He was shocked that I talked about walking during my labor and that I had wanted to do that. And he literally said to me, I thought they would just have people sit there and then have the baby.
Her labor, and this particular labor was 20 hours.
And so I'm hearing this and I'm thinking, wow, this priest really has no idea at all. Like so that disconnected from what a woman goes through in childbirth. And I'm glad that he had the opportunity to learn, but there's something different about a priest who understands the challenges of married life and is able to address that from experience than somebody who's just addressing it in theory. It's very different if you're counseling someone on, say, NFP, if you have never experienced married life yourself versus you've seen your wife go through multiple labors and pregnancies. You understand how some of them can be traumatic. You understand the mental drain that can come with postpartum depression. And so I think that the faithful would benefit from having not all priests, but more married priests that understand the unique challenges that come with married life.
I still think there could be a separate ministry than the priesthood serving that job, though. Full disclosure, I think that could be left to somebody else.
In a healthy society, priests who aren't married would actually grow up in a big family and experience.
Yeah, so maybe it's more of a societal stuff going thing on that around needs them. A societal hurdle.
I mean, there's definitely room for married priests when we're talking about converts who come across. There was a priest that I knew when I was at Mary R. Queen over in Norcross, Georgia, who was formerly an Episcopalian minister And you know, he couldn't be the pastor, but he was labeled as the administrator of the parish, so essentially held the pastor's position. So they did place some limits on it, which I think was what I thought was interesting, because it kind of mirrored a bit of the Eastern side there, where if you have a married priesthood, the bishopric mostly came from, or entirely came from, the monastic life. So you'd have the celibate monks who were becoming bishops rather than the married priesthood.
Was that kind of the same kind of situation that like Taylor Marshall was in? Because he had been in the...
Yeah, he was a minister in the Episcopalian church as well. But then I think he was more drawn to the academic side. I'm not sure if he ever considered becoming a priest or anything. I don't follow Taylor.
I'm pretty sure he's
got some fun memes.
Because he shared the story before.
A priest.
Yeah.
A priest or a Episcopalian priest?
Yeah, Episcopalian priest.
Okay. Priest. Sorry.
Yes. He identified
as a priest. I'm speaking about priest in the D&D sense. Like,
gotcha. Wololo.
No, that's Age of Empires sense.
I think there's a lot of merit to what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I don't think I disagree. You know, like, I read something recently where they were talking about like how a lot of priests and seminarians right now have like kind of gotten disconnected in general with people and their lived experience. And one of the struggles that they're kind of seeing is that there's a lot of idealism in a lot of the new vocations, where, you know, they're drawn to the tradition, which is obviously very, very good, but kind of like that pastoral sense is not as strong, with some of these vocations. I mean, you know, I think there's a lot that we could learn, or that priests could learn from having that actual lived experience. Yeah. I mean, I've had my fair share of like going to confession and talking about things and, you know, having a priest just completely slaughter me, you know, over things like, you know, I don't know. Like I remember we had our second miscarriage or first miscarriage. And I went to confession and the priest said, well, you know, if you had not sinned in this particular way, maybe you would still have your son, you know? And I was like,
ouch.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, like, okay. Luckily I had the grace to not like jump through the grill. I mean, I probably wouldn't have fit anyway, but like, it was one of those things where I was like, okay, like that really wasn't called for. Like, I'm here at the Tribunal of Mercy, you know, sharing my struggles and trust with the Lord and all of that, you know, after a miscarriage, and I'm being told that you maybe, because of your personal sins, may have caused this miscarriage, where it was like, you know, like, okay, I struggled with lustful thoughts and this is why I don't have a son anymore. Okay. Not cool. Like,
that's kind of like, that's not something being married can solve. Is it? Like, if you're the kind of person who will say that. Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know, but...
It sounds kind of like the theory that there wouldn't be abusive priests if they were married. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I'm not making a blanket statement here. I'm not saying all priests need to be married. I'm just saying could be benefits to having some more. And I think that's what Elizabeth is saying too. There could be benefits to having more of those kind of vocations sprinkled throughout, or at least having more of that influence, whether it is, you know, I don't know how to word it, but like, I don't think that priests are listening as much and getting the formation that they need in order to be able to not say crazy things like that in the confessional.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. My experience, there's definitely a difference between a priest who went through the whole high school, college, seminary route, and the priest who went out and had a period of time in their life where they were doing the thing out there, working in business or whatever industry they were in, and actually kind of got a flavor for how things work, and then came back and found their vocation. The late vocations, you know, I've definitely had some very intense confessions with some of them. One of the more interesting priests that I might be biased to this. Father David Nix, he's out in Denver. He's a paramedic, or was a paramedic. And yeah, it's like, okay, this guy has gone to people's houses. He's seen how they've lived. He's seen how they've died. You know, this dude knows. You know, some of these kids, what is that movie, Clint Eastwood, Gran Torino? Yeah, the fresh out of seminary priest who's trying to comfort him on, you know, losing his wife. And he's just like, no, sorry. You know, I can get that. But yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily the whole answer is a more married priests. Although I think that in the case of conversion, there's definitely a good place for that. But more of a looking at how do we get these kids, these guys out and actually seeing what life looks like. Mm-hmm. Because it's easy to look at it from seminary and say, and Father Steve's probably shaking his head right now. It's easy to look at it from seminary and say, oh yeah, you know, this is what the moral order should be. But man, that's not what the moral order is right now.
Nick, what was your idea for the next part?
Yeah. So I've been kind of kicking this idea around for a while. And since Chris mentioned the Fauci ouchie, another embarrassing Catholic story, I was at a Novus Ordo Mass recently.
You can just stop it there.
That was it. That was the whole story.
Dang. What was that picture that you had when you came in initially?
Oh, that was a clown mass. From Eye of the Tiber, actually. But so it was just a satire. But anyway, so I was at this Novus Ordo Mass and received communion and was like, wow, this is really minty. And I realized as my tongue started going numb that what had happened was the host had hand sanitizer on it. And so I consumed hand sanitizer along with the Eucharist. And it was extremely uncomfortable physically and morally, we'll say. And it just, it brought to the surface again for me a lot of this kind of pent up frustration that I feel at this incessant, like literal hand wringing that takes place among the extraordinary ministers before they start to distribute communion, because they make a big show out of like getting the hand sanitizer and pumping a whole bunch into their hands and wringing them. And, you know, my hands are cleansed. I've been purified before distributing. So I guess, bringing all that together, like there's these kind of like sacramentals, right? Of the modern world, if you want to put it that way.
The COVID cult.
I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Agreed. I mean, let's be honest. I hang a rosary from my mirror in the car driving down the road. People have masks hanging from their mirrors.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. The love is love signs.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Out in the front yard, you know,
secular rosaries, mm-hmm. Bare Naked Ladies. Oh, I should qualify that. Bare Naked Ladies is a band. One of the lines from one of their songs is secular. It talks about somebody who's at work using a squeegee and he calls it his secular rosary. No, I'm just throwing stuff out at naked people now.
What album was that?
gosh, I don't know. It was on their live album.
Oh, okay.
That one lived in my CD player when I was in high school.
I used to listen to Bare Naked Ladies a lot.
Yeah, I think it was Gordon.
Our parents were both like really into Bare Naked Ladies. And Great Big were really C. popular when we were kids, obviously.
Yep, and Great Big Sea.
Yeah, phrasing. Yes, I know. The Jobes are just dying laughing at that. Yeah.
Do we have time to do the last topic, or do you want to stop?
What was the last topic again?
We thought about
conspiracy theories.
We're already on it.
Okay.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, fans. I mean, it kind of dovetails in very well with. Yeah,
it does. Okay.
We're already talking about because COVID stuff.
Like, I'm entirely comfortable with the idea of multiple universes, and here's why. And I've talked about this with my kid a few times. because God can possibly be real in any of the multiverse, he has to be real in the entirety of the multiverse. I think that it's an amazing proof for the existence of God.
It's a marvelous proof.
Do you suspect that if there are other multiverses, that humans fell in them too?
I would honestly, I don't know. I would say possible. I haven't actually thought about that. That's a good question.
Is there a universe that's like Mars from Out of the Silent Planet? where there's all these
trilogy
virtuous aliens out there.
What if heaven and hell and purgatory are this like concurrent universes that you, I don't know. I, like I said, I'm entirely comfortable with it. I don't think that it's true, but I'm entirely comfortable with it.
I'll drop one. And this, I mean, this could be a conspiracy theory, or it could be a hot take, or it could be absolutely true. I think Pachamama caused COVID.
I'm 100% there.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think it is absolutely a smite.
I find that very plausible also, yes.
Definitely plausible for sure.
This is where I show my tinfoil hat, this whole segment.
I forgot about that, but yes, I 100% believe that one. Is it even a conspiracy theory at this point that like Marxists infiltrated basically all the institutions, including the church hierarchy?
Right. Yep.
I think that's pretty much a fact.
Isn't Bella Dodd?
Yeah, she talks about that
extensively.
It's all in the Alta Vendita, man. It's all planned out long ago. Sister Lucia.
Dr. the third?
Sister Lucia is not Sister Lucia.
Oh, yeah, the fake Sister Lucia.
That is
Lucia.
A crazy one. Like, yeah. There is a website that I was looking at where they've like done facial reconstruction and how there's two very specific facial structures at different times. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
I kind of want to believe that one, but I don't know if I do.
That one, you have to have a lot of buy-in from a lot of people. To like a whole monastery or a whole to be like, oh yeah, or a whole convent be like, yeah, no, that's Sister Lucia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of buy-in from a lot of people. And I don't know that you can just be like, oh yeah, under obedience, you have to lie. No.
Anybody
that's reasonably formed. Obedience. Yeah, but anybody that's reasonably formed is gonna say, no, that's nuts. There's no way you can require that.
But how do we reconcile the face thing?
I don't know. I mean,
it's weird.
There could be a lot of different like diagnoses that she could have. Like
she could have played soccer, broke her face.
Yeah,
like
could have
me.
Played soccer, broke her
Wasn't
face.
Wasn't she old? Like when they're comparing all this, you know.
Oh, yeah, dude, your face Mike, was I did not long. Know. I did not realize that Mike actually broke his face.
He did in 5 places.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a reference that I just kind of thought you guys were joking around with him.
No.
Has anybody done a like facial structure analysis between Mike and Vin Diesel?
You've never seen us in the same room.
Do we know for sure? Mike, quick, say I am Groot.
Okay, here's a conspiracy theory. What do you guys think about Pope John Paul I being assassinated or killed off by the mafia?
Plausible.
Potential.
Plausible. Potential.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know enough to be like, oh yeah, I'm on board with that, or no, there's no way. But
it's a spicy rumor. There's not really that much evidence, but I could see it happening for sure.
Oh yeah, the one Mike and I were talking about the other day in the car, and I think everybody's going to agree that, am I going to make a lot of people angry? I don't know. Maybe.
Make them angry.
I think there is a chance. I'm not saying for certain that there's a chance that Pope Francis was like everybody kind of like voted together, knowing that getting Pope Francis in the chair of St. Peter was a coordinated thing because they knew he would be an amazing puppet.
They're pretty much admitting to it.
But a lot of people, like, it is kind of conspiracy-esque to a certain extent. Yeah. I just don't know how deep it goes.
Well, it is definitely conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
But I definitely believe it.
Like, yeah.
I think there's enough evidence that, like, there was a group that organized in advance so they knew they'd have the votes and then tricked Pope Benedict into resigning thinking that he would get a conservative successor.
Well, I mean,
of all the things that we've talked about so far in the context of this conversation, that's actually the one that is the closest to the true definition of a conspiracy. That is a group of people conspiring together to advance a particular plot.
Yeah, well, even when I was looking at just like comparing the pontificates of like Francis to Benedict, I was like, I don't know if I can name one in the last, 200 years that has as many stark differences between the two. And yes, Benedict did make, you know, mistakes, and as did JP2 and whatnot. But when you compare the pontificate of Francis to Benedict, it's like night and day.
I will just say this. They're already talking about groups of cardinals getting together right now to figure out how they can undo the Francis pontificate and, you know, get ready for the next conclave, like how they can get a more conservative pope elected. So like they're already conspiring now. So like to think that they wouldn't have been conspiring during the pontificate of Benedict is like, you know.
Julia Maloney's book documented a lot of this really well, like basically all the different times that different groups of cardinals met up and talked and planned different things. And I mean, it's been documented like crazy.
So, do you think just with the change in technology and travel and whatnot, that's kind of what's enabled people to be able to do those kinds of plans? Like you have to have cardinals definitely from all over the world to pull off stuff like that.
In the past, they would have all been in Rome most of the time.
Well, keep in mind the College of Cardinals electing the Pope is a relatively recent thing as well. So, I mean, you had a whole series of popes back in the Middle Ages that were like they bought the papacy essentially.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not without precedent that there would be, you know, backroom deals and shady actors trying to put their man on the throne. And, you know, as Benedict said, and I'm only paraphrasing because I don't know the exact quote, but the actions of the Holy Spirit in selecting the Pope are not so much that as really just the Holy Spirit preventing the whole thing from getting messed up, right? So it's not so much the Holy Spirit didn't pick the Pope necessarily, rather the Holy Spirit prevents the whole thing from going off the rails.
It's not like a reverse Goblet of Fire or something where like a name pops out and it's like, this guy, you know, be kind of handy,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
The permissive will of God versus the active will.
I'm glad we explained everything with a Harry Potter metaphor for all the trads out there.
I don't read Harry Potter. I'm just
Father Chad could be a spicy take.
Yeah.
I don't read Harry Potter.
It's demonic and you're not allowed to read it.
Yes. And saying Latin words means that you're doing real spells.
Yes. That was actually the example that Canon Bourgeois gave to criticize Father Ripperger.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying that for years. Like, you know, we like to say, okay, the devil hates Latin. And these are real spells in Harry Potter. Wait a second. The spells in Harry Potter are Latin words. So you're telling me that the devil hates Latin, but he uses Latin for magic? Like, these two can't both be true.
Probably uses German. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike nods in German.
Jawohl.
I have one last conspiracy theory. I can tell we're probably going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
My last one would be that I think there is some merit. I think there's a lot of merit to creationism, and St. Maximilian Kolbe was absolutely right in trying to destroy the theory of evolution.
Do you think there's a conspiracy? Well, I guess a conspiracy
Okay. So yeah, to connect the two. So I think that the conspiracy element is that the embrace of the theory of evolution was specifically done in a way to destroy the faith and destroy the traditional teaching of the church on creation.
That sounds like a whole podcast for next season.
So we'll just get the Kolbe Center to come and do a podcast with us. That'd be great.
Oh, that'd be so much fun.
Maybe we can get Bill Nye.
Oh, man.
Debate Father Shannon from Our Lady of Lourdes, missionaries of St. John the Baptist. So they're the traditional community in Covington, Kentucky, that they were basically just removed from their parish and had their faculties removed by the bishop over things that they said about the mass, but I know that they also speak out very strongly against theory of evolution. So it'd be interesting to hear a debate between Father Shannon and Bill Nye or somebody else like that.
That would be sweet.
Or maybe
for the record, I think creationism is wrong, but I don't, because
oh boy, here we go.
Science aren't opposed to one another, and there's nothing that I think that says that evolution, that God could not have used evolution as the vehicle for the creation of the first man and woman. The way I would always answer this as a teacher was that you can choose to believe either, but the one thing you have to believe is that at some point there was the first man and the first woman, and that God imparted a soul to them. And I don't think there's anything that says that evolution could not have been used as the vehicle for that. But that's another hot take.
Let's come back to this next season.
I was going to say, if we're talking creation, are we talking about literal 7 days, or are we talking more epochs?
Good point, because there's a lot of different strokes, you know, within that area. And there's also what?
This would be a fun topic.
There's intelligent design. There's what? Thomistic? Do they call it Thomistic evolution or something like that? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No. I feel like I've read that theistic. Before, but I don't know where.
Theistic evolution? Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
I just want to put, you know, Thomas on everything, because.
If it was Thomistic, then I would instantly believe in it.
I was gonna say, you're just doing that to sell Mike.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I think this season was great. I think y'all are great, and I think we did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
That's my story.
We'll be back,
and I'm sticking to it.
Be back next season after being exposed to a firestone and evolving into a new form.
I was trying to think.
Evolution's bad, Mike.
Sorry for all my hot takes. I take viewers or listeners.
I'm sure somewhere out there there's a Father Ripperger homily about Pokemon, and now they're also demons. But
they are.
I was just sitting here like thinking that you were trying to like you were going to try to like steer that to be like, you know, a pregnancy thing, and how it's like Brooke has evolved to Brooke and Monica or something. I'm just like, where is he going with this? Is this a pregnancy joke? Or yeah, am I allowed to ask people to pray for us, because we're probably going to be in labor like the end of March. So
no prayers. Sorry.
Oh shoot.
We don't do that around
if
here.
If you pray for us, you can listen to all the previous 110 episodes of Theology of the Buddy absolutely free. That's a good deal.
This sounds like selling indulgences.
I would like to point out that if you go online, you'll see that we're actually missing episodes for some reason. So it's not 110.
Redacted by the state.
Those are for the Patreon subscribers. Sorry, Chris, you didn't get the memo.
You have to look in like the deep web for those episodes now or something. I don't know.
Yeah, those were the ones that featured like Matt Fred and Kennedy Hall and all those guys, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those were the
I don't know.
He platformed because the views were too traditional.
Ooh, can I ask one question before we sign off? Okay, so let's just say I go in labor on Good Friday. What if they run out of fish? Am I allowed to eat food at the hospital if I'm in labor on Good Friday?
If you're in labor, you just eat whatever you want. To
food. You are exempt. You are exempt you, from fasting. Yeah, there's...
But what about abstinence?
You are literally exempt.
But like, what about the abstinence?
Elizabeth coming out again with her exemptions for everything.
Yeah, you,
no, no, no. What
you
about the
what
abstinence
you need to do
part?
To stay healthy.
What about no, the abstinence you, part?
You
okay,
have
so your protein yeah. need is so high right now while you are pregnant that what you would have to do to meet that without eating meat
and at hospitals
would take a lot of planning and a lot of energy. And there is a reason why pregnant women are exempt. You are literally building another human, and your baby nutritional needs, they actually need the meat that you would consume. So you are exempt and eat the meat for your baby. Okay. Like you can just be like, oh, like I'm having my Chick-fil-A. It's so sad. But my baby really needs this protein.
Brooke, if my mother had not fasted during Lent, I would have a full head of hair right now.
Oh, Tim, I'm so sorry. Yeah, Mike and I have gone back and forth on this. Like, I'm just like, well, I'm due Holy Saturday. So I'm like, anytime near there, it's just like, it's fair game. It's fair game. I don't know.
Have we really gone back and forth? Because I'm pretty sure I said you can do whatever you want.
Okay, sorry. By yeah. we, I mean me and the mirror have gone back and forth, just dialoguing back and forth. Like, what are you going to do, Brooke? What are you going to do? It's going to be Friday.
Yeah,
what are you going to eat, Brooke?
This is what melancholics do. They overthink.
Yeah.
And apparently I've been made into the villain here.
Well, and then I was just like, Mike, what if I go into labor on Good Friday? Are you going to bring me a milkshake? Or do I have to ask a priest for exemption?
What did I say?
You said the saints would probably say I was mollus.
No, and that is not true. You asked me what Father Ripperger would say.
No. You said the saints would probably tell you to man up and not have a milkshake. But if Father Ripperger told you to buy me a milkshake, he would say, go do it because you love and care for your wife.
Yeah. I said I would get you a milkshake. But then what did I say? Father Ripperger would probably say, like, you could, if he was talking to you, you could be more virtuous by not having one. I would definitely not say that, though.
Yeah, I'm writing myself off for some things.
Put yourself in the role of Father Ripperger. Then you'll be vilified on a podcast.
I just had the name a priest. Like, that was of high profile. And that was just the one that I said. But anyway, pray for us because we might have an Easter baby. I think he would be a lot nicer about it. He would probably say, you just gave birth. You just did one of the most beautiful things any creature on earth could do. You go that milkshake.
Gosh, here's your milkshake.
Golly.
Hey,
when you're
pregnant, wow.
Then you'll say, "Hey, Father Mike, this is not a
wow. Suffering anyway."
Yeah.
So just offer those up,
Father Mike. This isn't a milkshake. This is a protein shake.
I have a recipe for a protein shake that tastes like a milkshake. If you want it,
yes, I will accept this.
No yeah, way.
Everyone is
yes,
like
yes way. Lots of way.
This is the way.
Lots of way.
I want to build muscles, but I also want a milkshake. It was like me today. I look at Mike. I'm like, okay, I got to like lean into making some like more of my keto like desserts. Like I don't do keto diet, but keto desserts were like a game changer for me when I was like, you know, really trying to lose weight. I'm like, Mike, I got to make those keto brownies again. You know, it's just like when you want to have a brownie, but you're nursing, but you don't want to feel guilty about eating like 600 calories of like buttery, sugary goodness. I'm like, I'll make it out of almond flour and butter and monk fruit sweetener.
Yeah. I hated those brownies, just for the record.
Did you try them with ketchup?
So until the next season.
Way
tratty.
Don't eat brownies.
Tratty.
Brought to you by Penny's Trash Sauce.
Stay tratty, y'all.
Thanks so much for listening to today's podcast. What are your thoughts on today's episode?
Hold on. This is the vandalism from last week. You can't read it again.
Wasn't Mike amazing? His mom will tell you that he's kind of a catch. We would love to hear from you guys. Message us on Facebook or DM us on Instagram at Theology the Buddy, find us at Twitter at Stay Tratty, or email us at TheologyTheBuddy@gmail.com. You can also send us a voicemail at TheologyTheBuddy.com. If you like what you heard today, please consider subscribing wherever you are listening and rating and reviewing us if you're on iTunes. We greatly appreciate it as it helps us to get noticed within the larger podcast community. Please pray for us during this time of transition, and we hope to see you guys all again in season 7.